The House is close to considering a bill to drastically change the National Security Agency's surveillance programs. The bill was approved by Judiciary and Intelligence Committees last week. It would end the NSA's practice of storing telecommunications metadata in its own data centers. For what to expect next, we turn to Julian Hadam, staff writer for The Hill newspaper. Julian, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, so give us the rundown on this bill and what it would do.
Sure. So this bill is called the USA Freedom Act. It was introduced way back in October, just a couple of months after the revelations from Edward Snowden about what the NSA does and some of those programs. And it had for a long time been kind of the really rallying cry of a lot of privacy and civil liberties groups, groups like the ACLU. People on both sides of the aisle have been really pushing for this to rein in some of the NSA programs. And as you mentioned, it would end the kind of bulk telephony, the telephone records metadata information that's currently the NSA keeps and stores and uses to connect the dots between suspected terrorists. It would also attempt to limit other types of bulk data collection by the FBI, for instance, which uses these things called national security letters. And makes a number of changes to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which is a secretive federal court that oversees some of these intelligence surveillance activities. And really what we saw last week was really a surprise to a lot of people that there had been, on this issue, which has been very controversial of NSA surveillance reform, a lot of people on both sides have worried that either reforms would go too far and be too debilitating and end up harming national security, or else on the other side that they would harm domestic privacy and civil liberties, constitutional rights there. And so this bill came out, you know, back in October, and it had attracted the support of more than 100 or so members, but hadn't really moved for a number of months. A lot of people were concerned that it went too far. And then in the last couple months, a lot of leaders of the Judiciary Committee, which is where the author of the bill, Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, who also wrote the USA Patriot Act, he's there, and so they made a couple of changes to it to try and tone down some of the more controversial methods, and that really smoothed over some of the tensions between the Judiciary and the Intelligence Committee, which is more national security-minded. And in a really kind of big surprise, what happened was they both said that this bill is okay, and they both approved it unanimously. And now it's heading to the House floor, where the bill should probably get a vote in the next couple of weeks, probably by the end of the month, it's looking like.
So, Julian, what was the give and take that had to happen for both committees to agree on it, and why do you think it happened now?
I think there's a couple of things. But what I think one of the interesting measures is that people I've talked to, staffers on the Hill that I've talked to, have said they didn't necessarily expected to win unanimous support. A lot of people on the Judiciary Committee worked to tone some of the language down, but they didn't necessarily think the intelligence panel would come along. They thought, and I thought a lot of us in the media were thinking that there would be this big floor fight between this bill, the USA Freedom Act, and another measure from leaders of the Intelligence Committee, Congressman Mike Rogers and Dutch Ruppersberger over there, which a lot of people said was not go far enough for groups like ACLU and these folks. And we were expecting a big floor fight between the two bills, and that would be hard on the party leadership, Speaker Boehner, Majority Leader Cantor. And I think there's a, for political, for kind of practical reasons, there was a sense that we should avoid that among the Intelligence Committee. And some of the reforms that the Judiciary members made, I think, really paid off. And it won unanimous support and now is headed to the floor, which was really surprising for a lot of folks, I think even on the Hill included.
Now, even though the NSA would not store that metadata under this bill, the companies, the telecom companies would. Any indication on whether they're behind it?
That's right. So instead of, as it is now, the NSA keeps the data and then searches it. What would happen is that the phone companies would keep that data for 18 months, which is what they currently have to do under Federal Communications Commission regulations and for billing purposes and other reasons. Then the NSA would be able to search it for a specific number with a specific court order. And what the bill also does is it allows for companies to be liable and protects their liability, which is a legal issue that some companies have been concerned about. And it also allows them to be kind of paid back if they're, you know, for any expenses that they would have to go through to deal with the NSA in this regard. There have been some concerns from telecommunication companies that they don't necessarily want to be seen as an arm of government. I mean, the NSA controversy has been bad for business in America just because people don't trust the government, and if they think that in some way companies are working with the government, they might be distrustful of those companies too. And so I've heard some concerns there, but there are a few practical options where they would not have to be holding some data or be working with the government in some regards, and to the large extent they already are working with the government. And so there's some concerns about kind of bad perception and bad image that might happen. But for the most part, I think it seems like the lawmakers have really made pains to soothe some of their concerns.
We're speaking with Julian Haddam, a staff writer for The Hill newspaper, and we're talking about legislation on the NSA in the House. So it seems like some of the proposals in this bill echo what President Barack Obama has also put forth, particularly letting those telecoms hold the data. What does the intelligence community think of it? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. So this was This effort got a big support, a big boost of support when President Obama came out in the last couple of months and said that ultimately the NSA should not hold this data. It should move to other private companies, and they should be allowed to search it. And the NSA, a lot of military intelligence officials, they've said that this program has been run well. There's never been flaws. It's legal, et cetera, et cetera. But they admit that, you know, people are upset by it, and they think that there is some way to do this right. A lot of folks that I've talked to think that, you know, there were never any problems with the program in the first place, but if they have to change it, they have given an indication that this is a thing that they can do with okay. It, you know, it won't be too big of a burden on them to go to the phone companies instead of having to go to their own storage records. I think there is some buy-in there.
Certainly, and there's one other little group that we have to worry about, and that's the Senate. What's happening there?
Indeed, we're only, you know, one chamber, and they haven't even totally voted yet. But the Senate, there is a version of the USA Freedom Act as well that's introduced at the same time last year by Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy. He has said that he wants to take that bill up this summer, and that's would be a year after the Snowden revelations came out. And there's been kind of the similar tension that you've seen in the House and the Senate between the Judiciary Committee and members like Dianne Feinstein, the head of the Intelligence Committee, who's worried that some of these measures go too far, that they would damage national security. She, you know, being a Democrat, Dianne Feinstein has been kind of in a tricky place, especially as President Obama and other members of her party have come out for ending this metadata program. But I think there certainly is going to be a tension. There's absolutely in no way is it assured that this support in the House will automatically translate to the Senate. But a lot of people think it certainly gives a boost to that effort, and it helps that momentum, spurs it along a little bit.
And Julian, finally, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the big ideas that were not in this bill. Just wondering, what does it do in particular with the idea of a public advocate in some of these secret courts, sort of an ombudsman to represent the public's view?
Sure. So this is an issue that was addressed in the bill, although there's conflicting feelings. This is also one of the measures that was kind of toned down to some regard to win more support. And the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, as you know, currently only hears arguments from the government, which some people say gives it kind of a lopsided view of things. And the bill originally would have added a privacy and civil liberties advocate to that court for two in rare instances and then extraordinary cases kind of make the other side of the case. And that was toned back down to a panel of a handful of advisors. And there's a legal definition there that some people say that the advisors are not necessarily strong enough. And Senator Leahy expressed concern that it had been watered down too much, and he would have liked to see a full advocate instead of just an advisor. And so this is certainly one of the measures it's dealing with, but it's kind of remains to be seen exactly how that gets hammered out and what that ends up looking like when all is said and done at the end of the day.
All right, we'll keep watching. Julian Haddam is a staff writer for The Hill newspaper. Julian, thanks as always.
Thank you.